And as was mentioned, our numbers are down a fair amount, and a lot of that is probably due to holiday travel and illness. The scripture reading this morning was from Luke chapter 18, and there's a couple of verses that we'll go over again. Verse 1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And the message of this parable is just that, that we need to pray and God will hear our prayers. And in the case of the parable of this widow who needed to be avenged of her adversaries, the unrighteous judge gave her what she asked for. God will certainly hear our prayers, and God will answer our prayer. The title, if you want to give this morning's lesson a title, would be "Why Pray?" And question may be asked that if God is all-knowing, he knows our hearts and knows our needs, why do we need to pray? Why do we need to tell him we are thankful? And, of course, the bottom line answer is he tells us to, but we'll get into more of that later. But God can answer prayer in various ways. Sometimes he may tell us, yes, he may grant what we ask for. Sometimes he may say no, or perhaps the answer might be maybe or wait a while. And a lot of times we maybe don't know for sure how or why God answers prayer, but we know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we'll get to that later. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, there it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave," or a wave, "of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So we need to ask in faith. We need to not waver in our faith. We cannot be double-minded if we expect God to answer our prayers. And then in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, we need to also understand the nature and the reason why we pray. It says there in verses 2 and 3, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." So there are certain things that men pray for or desire that are not godly aims, and he will not grant those prayers. But I think we need to be constantly reminded that prayer is something that we should do. Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing," and that's something that we need. But I don't know of a time that is greater when we all need to pray. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for spiritual strength. We need to pray for the health of those we love and who are members of our congregation. There are people, sometimes they're here, sometimes they're not, but they're suffering various things, and our constant prayer and concern for each other should never cease. Now, getting back to the question, why pray? Well, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, as we read, it's commanded by God. It says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's why Jesus gave the parable. That's why we need to do it, is because God tells us to. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, pray without ceasing. Three little words, but very meaningful. And prayer is one of the ways that we have fellowship with God. It's how we communicate with our Father as we are His children. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 16 through chapter 7 and verse 1, usually we read this as a reminder that we need to be holy in our lives, which it teaches. But let's look at what it says. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The promises that he was talking about in verse 7 have to do with the nature of our relationship to God, that we are the temple of the living God, that we are sons and daughters of God the Father. And what a great blessing that is. But how can we have a relationship with the Father without communication? His communication to us is through the Word, and our communication to Him is through prayer. Now, there's another reason to pray, and that is it is a form and one means that we have of serving God and helping others. Turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. That's Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. And this is at the birth of Jesus. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years she had been a widow. But notice what it says. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Her service to God was in fastings and prayers. Prayer is one way that we can serve God and serve each other as well. Why pray? Well, we can think of several reasons, and perhaps you could think of more. But prayer is our access to the throne of God Himself. It's our access to grace as a Christian, and it's our means of coming before God while He is on His throne. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. There it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's through Jesus we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. That is our access to God. It's our access to God for cleansing and forgiveness when we sin. In James chapter 8, or 4 and verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We are to draw nigh to God, draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. It's through prayer that we do that. In fact, God specifies that for the Christian, our forgiveness of sins is through repentance, confession, and prayer. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. There it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So verse 9 tells us that we are to confess our sins, and if we do, he is faithful and just or righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is certainly an important, very vitally important thing in our lives. And of course, how do we confess our sins? But through prayer. And sometimes it may be something that we need to pray ourselves. Sometimes others can pray for us. There is an example that I'd like to look at just very quickly of one who turned his heart to God who desperately needed to, and that is Manasseh, who is probably the most evil king in the history of the kingdom of Judah. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 10 through 13, notice that it says, and the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And God's attitude toward him changed as he humbled himself and prayed. And certainly that, who among us does not need to humble ourselves before God and pray? And the example we have sometimes asking others to pray for us in Acts chapter 8, where Simon the sorcerer wants these gifts of the Holy Spirit so he could impart that power. He wants them from the apostles. And in Acts chapter 8, verses 22 through 24, there, Peter says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven me, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. So here Simon requested prayer from Peter, and certainly that is appropriate from time to time to ask others to pray for us, help us in our weaknesses so that we can be strong and withstand the devil. Then we need to cast our cares upon God. And God tells us to do that in prayer. The song that we just sang before the lesson this morning, Sweet Hour of Prayer, talks about, I'll cast on Him my every care. That is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, where it says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. All of the things that plague us spiritually, that plague us from the standpoint of the perhaps physical problems that we have or the needs that we know that others have, we are to cast our care on Him. And we do that when we pray. Then Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. There it says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And that's one of the ways that when we do that, we can have peace with God. Then another aspect of that needs to be in our prayer, and what prayer properly is as well, if it's done correctly, is a proclamation of the holiness of God. Look at the prayer that what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus was telling his disciples how to pray. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The idea of hallow there refers to the holiness of God. And certainly as we approach God, we must recognize and have that attitude of His holiness and the reverence and respect that we must offer Him if, in fact, our prayer is to be effective and if our prayer is to be heard. Service to God always demands the recognition of His holiness. In Leviticus chapter 1, or 10, verses 1 through 3, we have an example there of the sons of Aaron who did not have the right attitude toward God. It says, And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. When we begin our address to the Father in our prayers, we are to recognize His holiness and approach Him with an attitude of respect and reverence. And when, especially in our public prayers, we follow along and we listen to what is being prayed, we also should be impressed with the power of God and His holiness as we begin to approach Him in prayer. Another aspect of prayer that was mentioned briefly, but we'll take more of a look at, because it's something that we all need in our lives, and especially those who are suffering various types of affliction. But prayer is a source of mercy and an act of love. Have you thought about it that way? It's something that we do, or a way that we do need to think. Of course, we need to do what we can to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, but sometimes prayer is all we can do. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, certainly our attitude of heart is addressed there. It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And sometimes prayer is the only thing that we can do for someone. And it is an act of love. We're to pray for our enemies. Do we remember to pray for our enemies? Or for those in power? In James chapter 5, and I'm not necessarily equating with those in power as being our enemies. Please understand that. But that could be the case. That was the case in the New Testament times. In James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, James 5, 13 through 18, it says this: "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So here it talks about our praying for each other, and we need to do that. In the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 1. There Paul writes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You know, when Paul prayed that, says his heart's desire and prayer for them is they might be saved. And yet they were abusing him, trying to kill him, and his attitude and his desire was that they might be saved. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. There Paul writes, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." And we are certainly blessed in this nation that we can, at least to this point, lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And yet, there are brethren throughout the world who do not have that privilege. And their lives are in danger when they worship God. And we need to pray for them as well, but we need to be thankful for the blessings that we have. But whoever is in charge, we need to pray for them. Then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, there says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So, as Paul requested prayer for him and those who are with him or the other apostles, whatever the case may be, we need to pray for them and pray that the word of the Lord may have free course, that others might be able to hear the gospel and be saved, but also that those who preach the word may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And there are no shortages of unreasonable and wicked men in the world. And some of them have power. Then, also, we need to pray because God wants us to express our gratitude toward Him. Now, God knows our hearts and knows the gratitude that we have, but it's something that He has asked us to do. And it's something that if we truly feel it from our hearts, we should be perfectly happy and willing to do. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it talks about how people leave the Lord and fall into paganism and worldliness and the type of things that you see in a world without God. And verse 21 tells us, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. One of the steps that they took was that they were not thankful. Are we thankful for all of the blessings that we have? And we certainly need to be. God has blessed us tremendously. In Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 20, notice Paul writes there, giving thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to give thanks always for all things. Prayer is to be an expression of our gratitude toward God. Now, there is one thing that we need to keep in mind, that if our hearts are not right before God, God will not hear us. Our prayer can be hindered. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, notice there it says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, that is your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There, we may have attitudes, or our hearts may not be right, and our prayers may not be, or our prayers are hindered. And certainly we don't want that to happen. We can't afford for that to happen. So we need to make sure that our hearts are right before God, and as we find them wrong, come to Him in repentance and pray to Him. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, there it says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and He will abundantly pardon. But our sins separate us from God. And here we are told to call upon Him while He may be found, or seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him when He is near. Now, what we need to understand is that only the Christian, only a child of God, has access or can approach God in prayer. And so we need to make sure that we are saved. If we are not a Christian, God will not hear our prayers. And so, looking at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, there it says, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Here is how we become children of God. It's by faith in Christ Jesus. Of course, repentance of our sins and confession of His name. And then being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Have you been baptized into Christ? It may be that you have not. And if that is the case, we would be happy to take care of that. Or if, as a Christian, you have been living in such a way as to not serving God as you should, or if you have some sin in your life that you would like prayers by us on your behalf, we would be happy to do so. If we can help you in one of those two ways, would you please come to the front while we stand and sing the invitation song?